It's pretty good. We're almost on time.
For us, that's...
Fingers crossed. In the public domain. Artwork.
You know, you should just go and make that so it automatically starts at 6, no matter if you're here or not.
They just see us running up here with, like, no pants on and eating a sandwich. Oh, whatever the hell a sandwich is.
Yeah.
Who knows what a sandwich is?
That is actually a really good idea. That would be kind of awesome to do that. Just go live.
Empty room.
We're not ready at all.
My band name is The Buseys, and my first album is Who Knows What a Sandwich Is.
So welcome to Crippled System, episode 193.
Boosh!
It's not a prime.
Are you sure?
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think it is either.
Yeah, I can't. I don't
it's not divisible by anything 19 or less that I can think of, so it's probably safely not a prime.
Yeah.
Like, if it's divisible by, like, 27 times 7 or something like that, my brain's not up to that right now.
Yeah.
I'm Dan.
Okay.
I'm Nathan.
I'm Jeremy.
I'm Andy. And I'm here to paint.
Well, then, I'll start with this, then, before you get stuff all in your painting area.
Oh.
So...
Okay.
A listener, because we got all these doodads like Om Nom and Stitches and stuff like that. You always have little mascots on the table, so he wanted to send us one.
We haven't had too many of them because they block the chat screen. We can't see the chat.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. Well, whatever. The point is, a listener's like, hey, I have something I think you guys would like.
Sweet.
So he sent it. I forgot that it was being sent. And so a thing came at work. I'm like, what the fuck is this? And I opened it. I was like, oh, that's right. And so then I rewrapped it so that we could reopen it again live on air.
That's why it's in Christmas.
That's the only wrapping paper I had. But so here, before you fill up that area.
Oh, damn it.
Go ahead and open that. My phone died, which means, as in destroyed. So I don't have the chat log with the guy anymore, so I don't remember his name.
Oh.
But no, it's okay. The packing list is... When I wrapped it with the packing list inside. So once you unwrap it, I can thank him because his name will be on there. It's Paul. Paul. Oh, it's Paul Johans.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Paul. Okay.
So, well, it should be in your... If it's on Messenger, it should be on there, too.
Yeah, no, I think it was the phone. Like, for some reason, I don't know. It's weird.
Were you using Messenger as your SMS app?
I was, but that's some of the the text message things didn't come through. But the, Facebook ones. What's wrong? Finish unwrapping your present, Andy.
No, I'm not going to finish unwrapping my present. I'm upset.
Who can guess what's the present?
We got a special present from our best listener.
Everyone knows exactly what it is right now. It has something to do... I was just playing this.
Yeah.
I was reminiscing about how awesome he was when he was alive.
What?
The person who killed the person responsible for said Autobot leader's fucking death. Oh my god.
Boy, that guy's gonna take
front and
center.
Everybody watching. Show the camera. Andy.
Andy.
You got
it. Rodimus
Prime.
So good.
Rodimus Prime.
Son of a bitch.
Look, it's got a bio and stats on the back, and he's got like perfect stats, except he's like,
oh, but it doesn't have the cool, like, if you remember old Transformers, they had the little red clear plastic thing they used to look over there to decipher. So if I just think about this, my mouth just dropped. How the fuck is he? He's like maxing all of his goddamn stats.
No, he's only 9 out of 10 in one of them and 8 out of 10 in the other. And he's 10 out of 10 in everything else. I forget what's his stats?
He should be 10 out of 10 at getting Prime fucking killed.
He is. He is.
There's no stat for that. So he's 10. He's 10 intelligence.
He was smart enough to get a promotion. That's the 10 out of 10 in getting Optimus Prime killed.
No, this is actually really cool. This is... Oh.
Yeah, there's the packing list. I saved it. Yeah, see?
So it isn't actually Hot Rod, though. It is actually full-on Rodimus Prime.
Yep, it's a full-on Rodimus Prime one. It's not just Hot Rod.
Wow.
Yeah, it's actually really cool. As much as you hate Hot Rod, that's a good toy.
This is more money than our podcast is worth.
Exactly.
I assume he got it for a nickel at the Salvation Army, which does not dispute your point. Here, I'll set him up while you go.
Fucking hell. No, he's not going out of the box.
Well, oh, you're going to keep him as a collectible trader?
Yes.
So, all listening, next time you see Andy, ask him if he's got the toy. He may trade it.
Yeah. I'm looking for a convergence army.
But would you trade it for a sandwich?
For a sandwich? Oh, it depends on the sandwich. Yeah. Better be a good one.
Would a hamburger work?
Yeah, the hamburger, a hamburger is technically, I would consider a hamburger a sandwich. I know we went
over. Of course a hamburger is a sandwich.
We talked about this before, that the person who is not here now, he can't defend his weird sandwich ways, but a hamburger is a sandwich.
We may have sent him to a re-education camp.
Yeah. He said a grilled ham and cheese sandwich was not a sandwich.
Yeah. I'm not even sure if, are we actually broadcasting?
I don't know. There's no chat.
Are you?
I didn't get an alert, but I don't have Twitch on my thing, so I don't know.
Our Twitch doesn't actually... It only does it once for a day. It's probably because we're not like an official subscriber, you know.
Nope, we're alive.
Okay.
We're alive.
Nobody's chatting with us then.
No. That's okay. We're sad and alone.
I almost destroyed my computer this morning. It was well,
that would have been sad for all of
like
us.
Like on accident or out of rage?
Nope. It was completely on accident. So I was... You remember what happened to Hungerford?
Stop being fat?
Jeez. Was that same radio education camp? No. Do you remember what happened to Hungerford when we went out to dinner over at the Clawdaw?
No. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, where yes. I did a nice spit take.
Yes, where Andy did an actual straight out of a comedy sitcom spit take all over Hungerford.
Yep. So this morning I was eating my bowl of cereal.
Was it your Quisp?
No, it wasn't my Quisp. No, I'm saving the Quisp for somebody else.
Okay.
But I had, it was some off-brand Frosted Flakes, so they get really soggy really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And so I shovel it in as quick as I can, and then I tried to breathe. That didn't work, and I spit take all over the front of this computer.
Nice.
All of it. It was just like everywhere on there, and... Thank God I didn't have a lot of milk, because otherwise I would have had a destroyed computer.
Just a defensive measure. Just like... When an Andy is threatened, he sprays Frosted Flakes at the attacker.
I would love to hear that in a Richard Attenborough voiceover. That would be great. All right, so I'm kind of trying something different. I'm going to be... painting up working on painting a model as we go on the podcast. So I'll be kind of going a little back and forth. There'll be a video that'll be accompanying the Twitch stream that'll be on YouTube. It will not be, or it might be just, I don't know. I'm just going to fade away.
So it's nothing to do with the fact that, you know, Adepticon's like in 4 days.
I got something to say. It's better to burn out and fade away.
Oh. I was going to... when you said, I got something to say, I started thinking of the Metallica lyrics.
Sure.
For
Well, that's fine. It's just, you said you're going to fade away, and I knew the Kurgan would be disappointed in you.
Yeah. I guess burnout. Where's my lighter? Yeah, but I'll be doing Kaya...
That's Varus.
I was finishing it. I realized I made a mistake in mid-sentence, and I was going to just... fold it into Kaya and Laris.
Yeah, that's why I stopped you before you could fix it.
Yeah, you'd fuck. Yeah. You know, I was going to do something nice for you today.
I've been nothing but nice to you.
I was going to do something nice for you. I stole one already, so it's not my fault, but he said I can have one.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to go get something for you.
Okay.
All right. You guys go ahead and podcast.
Well, okay. Do we have, before, I assume, were you both at the event yesterday?
I was not.
Nobody was at the event yesterday. Andy ran it. The other three of us weren't there. Fuck the event.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Yeah.
I had a legit excuse.
Maybe if you stop scheduling events on the days I work.
I had to put in a dishwasher.
Yeah.
I was supposed to have my son's 5-year birthday party until he had the flu all this week, and we canceled it.
Canceled his birthday?
Well, no, he's still having a birthday party on Thursday, which is his actual birthday, but this was the one with the family, so we were just gonna go out bowling. But yeah, no, we canceled it because we're like, oh, interesting, he has the flu, let's not get other people sick.
So let's not Well, yeah, so much for talking about the event.
Yeah, I mean, you going to Adepticon? Really yes, but I'm not going down until Friday morning.
I'm going down Wednesday morning.
That's right. I'm going down Thursday. Hooray us.
Hooray.
We covered all the possibilities.
No, there's still Saturday, Sunday.
If you're a savage.
Yeah, I think like Kerr's going just one day.
So if you're a savage.
If you're savage.
Savage, yeah.
A sandwich confused monster.
Well, yes.
Are you playing any events?
No, I'm doing Iron Arena on Friday and doing some classes on Saturday.
So I'm doing Masters on Friday. I may do Iron Gauntlet on Thursday. I haven't decided yet, mostly because Iron Gauntlet for Crix means I have to carry 300 pounds of stuff.
It has like a package, but don't shake it or anything.
Whoa. Oh, I see. It's not Star Crunches.
It's not Star Crunches. Okay.
All right. Oh. Ooh, 50-50. Ooh, and it's cold.
Yeah.
Exciting. I actually got a Zombie Dude messaged me and said that he would bring a 2-liter to Adepticon. Mm-hmm. Grapefruit and lime flavored soda.
Ooh.
You can share.
I got my, well, this is my pocket one.
You have a pocket 50-50.
Andy, you just meet Andy, he's going to have a pocket soda.
So you can thank Johnny, Johnny P.
Otherwise, thank you, Johnny P.
Pastrami.
Oh, Johnny Pastrami. Where the hell did he get it?
At his regular store.
Yeah, he lives in Manitowoc.
Manitowoc has 50-50s? Yeah. Mm-hmm. See?
I still swear it's down the street, too.
I will look.
I checked Hy-Vee this morning and they don't have it, because I thought about that.
Hmm. Tastes a lot like Squirt.
Mm-hmm. It's because it's a grapefruit.
Yeah.
Grapefruit is Squirt. This has a little lime to it.
Yeah.
No, you just add some black velvet into this, and then it'll be really good.
Probably a hint on maybe where you can find it, too, is it's probably near mixers, because it's a mixing drink.
Sure.
So it's similar to, like, well, ginger ale and all that, so it's probably near stuff like that.
Which makes sense, because my grandpa was a drunk, so it's probably why he always had 50-50.
My grandpa had Squirt with black velvet.
Plastic gallon jugs of gin. Fleischmann's.
Oh.
You know it was quality then.
Yeah. Isn't that the stuff Jim drank?
Jim likes
like in an emergency.
Jim actually likes the better of the drinks. He gets
Bombay Sapphire. Bombay Sapphire is his go-to.
So he spends more money on terrible.
I mean, gin is terrible no matter what gin you get. Like it is it's just so unpleasant.
It is the worst.
It's just drinking a Christmas tree, and it's just. I think you have to. Does it work the other way? Because there's a groove on the slot.
Don't pay attention to me.
Oh, there's grooves on both sides. I see. It makes sense.
Don't pay attention to me.
Pay no attention to Andy.
Yeah. Ignore me. Yes.
Yeah, I'm here to put on a quality broadcast.
Dan, I was going to play in Masters, so we might face each other, and that'd be sad.
That's true.
I don't know what I'm doing at Adepticon other than running Who's the Boss.
Are you ghost fleeting it?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. We'll see. We'll see. I'm not bringing Jaga Jaga to Masters. I'm bringing the mom list I've been practicing. So we'll see if she can kill pirates fast enough.
Well, I might drop a different list, too.
You have an anti-Iron Mother list?
No, I just might play my other list because I'm bored.
Fair enough. I don't even know what my other list is. That's the problem with only practicing one list for the entirety of Mark III, is I have zero experience with any other convergence lists.
Yeah, it goes the same thing with me.
I mean, that's just my standard going to any tournament. I create a list the week before, maybe get one play in, and then we're good to go.
And Masters is DNC, isn't it? So I have to play my other list.
DNC 1.
Oh, no.
And 7 rounds, so. Because Friday and Sunday count as the same event.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, really?
Yep. Yeah, it's one of those two-day.
Oh, that's not good.
And is Sunday the team event?
No, Saturday is team
Saturday. Okay, cool. That's right, because I can Masters, then team, then Masters is the plan.
Or you can play in Champions.
Nope. I'm not based.
Oh?
Yeah, they have to have base.
Yep, I'm not based.
They're basically, whatever hardcore standard painting was before is Champions standard painting now.
Yeah, I'm just doing Iron Arena because I won't get down there till like 9:30 on Friday. So
that's kind of the reason why I don't really, I don't mind Champions, but what I don't like the fact that a lot of people can misconceive it being a new player friendly style of event. What the hell are you doing? You taking a picture of your
I'm scanning the barcode, but I can't fucking scan the barcode. Because it's all like silvery and impossible to scan, and my scanner won't recognize it. So I'm going to have to type it in like a savage.
But a lot of people seem to think that it's a new player friendly event, and
the concept is, but it's not going to be.
Well, the requirements for painting are really a big thing. I mean, if you're a hobbyist already, then that's probably fine. But I feel that the limitation of the event, as in you're only limited to those type of casters, you almost have to be like a full on master of that caster in order to, and that's what Champions is made to do.
Might be something with our chat. Travis says he's in our chat.
Indeed.
But yeah, no. So there's, I mean,
indubitably.
The painting isn't newbie friendly. Well, yeah, the painting isn't necessarily newbie friendly, but the limited casters is the newbie friendly half. So there's advantages and disadvantages to it.
Correct. I'm gonna restart our window here. So you guys keep on talking. Don't worry about what I'm doing.
Okay, that's like the seventh time you're like, don't worry about me.
Sometimes you guys get really concerned about what I'm doing over here, and I'm not like. Well,
that's because the last time I was on the podcast and you said, don't worry about it, you made Travis and someone else an admins.
Well, that was his brother. That was a thing.
Yeah, Travis and the most obnoxious Hoffman. Yes. Everybody in the family would admit it, including him.
Okay.
I don't know anyone else but you, so I guess I'll take your word on it.
Just imagine that.
Imagine this, but more successful, so he's even more obnoxious about how good he is.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's scary.
But
yeah.
Does he have the lovely...
He's bald. Oh. I'm the only one with hair.
You got that up on him. Oh, man. I'm more worried... just about how much money I'm going to spend. I don't know if you've looked at the vendor list. I have, and I'm just like, oh, gods.
This one's going to be expensive.
It's not going to be good for me.
Why is that?
There's lots of good vendors, and also there's a lot of stuff I've been waiting for from PP, since one of my factions has a very good shot of being pre-released there. So.
Oh, sure. Yeah. We'll see what's available come is it Sunday I have to wait for PG points? Yeah.
If
they're still doing
it. If that's something that do, I mean...
I don't know if they're still doing PG points. I know you can still do it on the store.
I think it'd probably be difficult for them because they...
Why?
If you end up going over, that's kind of a hard thing for them to be able to get. Because then they're going to come after you for money.
They can just take the credit card number at the same time.
That's true, too. All right. I think the chat should be working.
50-50. Chat is working. Hey, chat's working now.
Hey.
Thanks for being in chat, everybody. Hopefully they can watch us and just not type.
Hi, everybody.
If they couldn't see us, we'll just have to start everything over. Let me rewrap Rodimus Prime.
Why is he on my table? Oh, he actually is open.
Yeah, he's already open. Give him here. I'll unpack him. You can paint. I'll unpack Rodimus Prime while Jeremy and Dan talk.
Oh, right, yes.
Yeah, we've tried this before. Remember, it doesn't
my
work
well. Gift, is it? Or is this the gift from the podcast?
It's obviously was mostly to troll you.
Yeah.
But
it even has the how to transform him.
Yeah, it is a fully functional transformer. It's not just a collectible figurine. Oh, does it got decals?
It has decals.
Fuck yeah.
Not put on yet.
See?
I could paint him into a different color and call him something different.
That's what I was just saying. I'm like, hey, if you're going to paint something, you got him right there.
Can be Clodimus Prime.
Prodimus.
Prodimus?
Is that a sex thing?
Well, it could go in your butt.
Cletus Prime.
Anything can if you try hard enough.
Let's see if I remember.
Whoa!
I remember.
Are you transforming him from muscle memory?
Kind of.
Gotta make the sound effect.
Proves how much you actually did love that toy.
Hey, you know, there's a lot of things you have when a kid, and that you're forced to like because it's
I have
the only
no
thing
regrets
you have
as a kid.
Whoa,
for, you know, childhood.
Oh God. His feet pop up. Oh, his feet are actually the old metal ones too. So this is almost like the original toy.
Can I see that box for a second, Andy?
Sure.
Pretty quality.
You can read his bio, Dan. Read Rodimus Prime. It's right up there on top.
No, I'm looking to see if this Transformer is older than I am.
This is a re-release. This is a re-release edition. This one's only from like 2003 or something.
Okay.
This, I think, was in 88 is when Rodimus Prime was originally released.
Okay. Yep, 2003.
Yeah. Function protector. His quote is, "Experience is the benchmark of maturity."
Yeah. You learned a lesson when he killed Prime. That was
a vanguard for the Autobot rank.
Do that again.
No, he's like, "I learned how I'm now the leader. Way to go, me."
Promotion. Possesses acute military prowess. Speaks with the savvy of seasoned veteran. Not a seasoned veteran. Just, you know, grammar's not important. Expert tactician and exceptional maneuverability in battle. Can be hot-headed at times. Has a tendency to act first and ask questions later. In robot mode, carries a photon eliminator that shoots high voltage electricity. Range 500 miles. Speed 200 miles per hour. Sole purpose is to protect all life. His only weakness is his compassion for other living creatures. Which does not include other Optimus Robins, Prime. Yeah. Well, no, because Optimus Prime famously is not living.
Correct. I don't know where these mud flaps go, though. I know where everything else goes.
Yeah, collect
my moments of just utter disgust.
Dirge. Oh, well, see, this is commemorative series 6 where they're kind of scraping the bottom of the barrel because the other three are Dirge, Smokescreen, and Grapple.
Grapple? Like one of the Constructicons?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Autobot Grapple. Autobot Grapple.
Yeah, it was
the good version.
Oh, I think I actually have that one from 2003.
Or no, he wasn't a Protecticon. He was a reskin of one of the Protecticons. Sadly, I know that.
But none of them are as important as Rodimus Prime.
This is true. It's true.
Yeah. Manufactured under license from Takahara Co. Limited. I'm trying to figure out where he was built. Yeah, indeed, made in China. I mean, not a surprise. There was zero chance he wasn't made in China.
Oh, I see. They're blast shields.
Oh.
See? Look at that. That's pretty awesome. You were poo-pooing this gift, and now you're all into it.
No, I'm not. I'm just...
He says he's not, but look at that smile on his face. Yeah.
This is what it's like when you agree to like try out your significant other's new fetish, and then it turns out you like it, but you don't want to let on too much.
Okay, for you, I guess. Yeah. We can do it some more.
We did what in the butt? That's fine.
Yeah. Okay, maybe two fingers, though.
Shake it.
Let me spit take on your laptop.
Yeah, that's probably true. Are there lead paint.
Yeah. My pen's over here.
Oh, he's got a spoiler. Does the spoiler come off?
The pictures has it on. Oh, it comes off. I mean, anything comes because off if you try hard enough.
Because it has to go like that. There we go. There's that asshole right there.
Ready to go off and get Optimus killed.
Yep. For glory.
His only weakness, Andy, is his compassion for other living creatures. So really, he's just trying to reduce his weakness by reducing the number of other living creatures there are.
I like how he's got a gun that he also has his other gun there, too.
Well, sure.
Yeah.
He's got a two fistles guns, baby.
Again with the fetish talk.
I know. Apparently that's where this podcast is going to be going.
Do we have any other announcements besides the fact that Adepticon exists? And is this coming weekend? Holy shit.
Yeah, I don't think we really have any others. There's Lock and Load. There's MomCon that's coming up in May.
I was looking at running an event in April, but the stores are really busy.
Yeah, there's somebody local that really wants to run a charity event. So I'm working with him. So that may be at the beginning of May.
Sure.
I'm thinking of doing it as a, not a Who's the Boss event, but a, what would you call it where you're kind of bidding on a date?
Auction?
Yeah. So I'm thinking about doing a War Machine style
Andy,
eBay auction.
Please save this.
What? Save it for what?
You described this as a trying to get a date.
No, not a date. No. You mean save it? I thought you were trying to think of like, oh, let's put it in the put a bookmark on that
salvage.
Thing. No. Have a Warcaster like lineup, and then people bid on those for the round. For their Warcaster, because it's going to be a charity event.
Sure,
May I request that all the Warcasters and everyone be under a red light?
Oh, we could do that. Yeah. That's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could Roxanne.
I mean, we need that red light district stuff going on here if we're going to be bidding on them.
Yeah. I think we would probably take like some of the biggest ones on there. We'll probably throw up some of the
Rusheth.
You don't need to turn on the red light. Is it really a red light or is it just a heat lamp?
Tanning bed.
I apologize for nothing.
Your version of Rusheth is much different than my version of Rusheth.
Hedonism bot.
Yeah, I know.
Somebody needs to do that mod. Why is there not a hedonism bot Rusheth?
I haven't gotten that far yet.
Mm. All right.
It's on the list.
Okay, good.
Sorry. I've been actually painting up my Rusheth today, and I didn't even think about that. I mean, the connection's there, but
that's exciting.
We know the real reason why you're enjoying this toy.
Mm-hmm.
Because now it's been 20 minutes you haven't had the paint.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. That's very true.
Come on.
The best part is when I bring my Optimus Prime at home and stand him on top of him.
Yeah.
Because I have a Prime at work.
I have an Optimus Primal it's one of the big ones. Hitting that. I'm just hitting everything that's like that big.
Oh.
Yeah.
I think though actually all the Beast Wars ones are actually like almost human size, or would be considered human size, as compared to the standard Transformer.
Correct, which is why they're able to have a fight on Optimus Prime's chest.
Because if a Transformer disguises itself as a gorilla, but that gorilla is 40 feet tall, it's not going to be really hidden.
Well, yeah, but it would make sense because, you know, 20s. Kong was 30s.
Okay,
it?
What about the cheetah guy?
Or the insectoid, you know, or whatever he was.
Yeah.
Waspinator.
The mosquito. Yeah.
Oh, really? No, Waspinator. Yeah, you have Waspinator, and then you have Megatron, who was a T-Rex. And really, they should have been further apart in size.
Yeah.
That was a big wasp.
That's a very big wasp.
Waspinator.
It's one of the Japanese.
It's Hank.
That was a depressingly good Waspinator impression. That was a
very good Waspinator.
Yeah, I did not get into Beast Wars. So,
ah, man, I watched the shit out of Beast Wars. I know we talked about this before. Yeah. But,
and it's on Netflix now.
Oh, man, Beast Wars. And so my coming home from school, that time of my life, was Beast Wars, Mighty Max, and the Beetlejuice cartoon.
Yep.
We're all around that same time. And then before that...
Reboot was...
Yeah, I didn't
Reboot
actually...
Reboot was Saturday morning.
Yeah, Reboot was Saturday morning. Yeah,
it's amazing how well Reboot, like, but in the four seasons that it was on, how well that the CGI and stuff progressed in that show.
Well, it was at that time of technology where CGI just skyrocketed. Like, you look at season one versus season four.
Right. It's
like season one of Reboot looks like hot garbage now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And four is passable, you know.
No, for the time.
It more was impressive, like, good. The storyline. Like, Reboot actually, like, they it was like happy, fun adventures in cyberspace, and then by the time you got to season 3 and 4, it was just like death and destruction and Game of Thrones level intrigue.
Yeah.
Plus, it had Tony J, and anytime you have Tony J doing voice work,
wasn't he the voice of Candyman? Or wasn't he Candyman? Or no, I'm thinking of a different. Oh man, get me out of this foxhole! Somebody.
We're just gonna let you keep digging.
Tony J was the voice of Mike Megabyte on that. He was the voice of Count Frollo in Hunchback of Notre Dame. He was the voice of the Elder God in the Soul Reaver series.
Oh yeah, that was a good series.
Yeah. Soul Reaver,
Raziel. So there was the Legacy of Kain.
Oh, Soul. Okay.
Yeah, there's Legacy of Kain. There was Blood Omen, and then Soul Reaver.
Yeah, yep. I was thinking of. Soul Calibur. Actually, I'm like, I don't remember Raziel and Soul Calibur. It makes no sense.
He would have been a pretty good character in Soul Calibur.
Yeah, he would have been. He would have been in there.
I actually really like Raziel. So that was him that did that voice?
The film? Elder God. The one that like manipulates him back against Kane after he's cast down in the vortex.
Ah, okay.
Something. Oh, no, I have an announcement. Okay, I need to remember this announcement. I'm going to write this down. You can say whatever you're going to say.
Oh, no,
I'm just making a note.
I was going to say that the Soul Calibur game, or Soul Calibur, God damn it, Andy. the Soul Reaver games are some of the few games that I've actually done to completion. Like,
did you do the
game ADD? That is
Legacy of Kain ones as well?
Yeah.
Because that was so cool to have the two series simultaneously as the two, like, each of them is an antagonist in the other one's series.
Right, yeah.
And that was just kind of neat.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I like Soul Reaver much more, though, than Legacy of Kain.
Yeah. I mean, they're both good, right? Like, Kain is they're different. There's a lot more puzzling in Soul Reaver. Mm-hmm. The original Blood Omen Legacy of Kain, though, and I think I've told this anecdote years ago, but it's one of my depressing childhood moments was, well, not childhood, but PS1 when it came out. I got a PS1. I bought it, you know, I traded in a bunch of my stuff to get a PS1 for myself, and I got Legacy of Kain, and I went home and I played it for like 20 hours. Like, I bought it on Sunday, or I bought it on, I must have had the day off because my mom was coming home from work. The point is, I played for like 20 goddamn hours. I got like 80% of the way through the game.
Sure.
And I called my mom before she left work, told her I needed her to stop at the store and get a memory card. And of course, there was no such thing as a memory card in previous game systems. You just saved your game. So she didn't understand how important having a memory card was. And so she turns out they had them, and she decided to get me one for my birthday that was like a week and a half later. And so she just lied and told me they didn't have any because she decided it would be a perfect birthday gift.
Hmm.
So I couldn't save my game, and I had to play it all over again.
Mm, yeah.
That lying bitch.
Hey, but at least you got to play it all over again.
Mm-hmm, I did. I played through that game like 4 times.
I mean, along those same lines, one year when the very first Tomb Raider came out, I found out where my parents were hiding the Christmas gifts, took it out a month before Christmas, installed it on the computer, put it back, wrapped it all up, put it back in there, and by the time Christmas came around, I had already beat the game. So when it came, I'm like, ah, sweet, I get to play this all over again.
Anyways, Nathan, announcement.
Oh, yes. So, the WITC, we had talked about last week changing it to a three-player format. And people will read the threads. This will be a duplicate because I talked about this in the Muse thread for last week. But we talked about it being a three-person team event instead of a five-person team event.
Yep.
To make it a one-day event, to differentiate it, to make it easier for teams. Lots of reasons. And so several people contacted and mentioned that the Three Commanders format is neat, but it's got some flaws, and maybe people are getting a lot of sick of it. And so Norbert, the judge from England, he sent us a format that some Germans ran that's just really cool that I will go over briefly because it is what we're going to use, and I think it's a lot neater than the Three Commanders format, which is that the teams... I won't go into the details, but the point is it's still a dynamic matchup like the five-person event is where you actually like see the opposing people's players and you make intelligent choices and you get to pick matchup versus matchup and take turns kind of doing that. So it won't be three commanders. It'll be a lot more interesting, which I think is cool.
Yep. So rules packet should be available soon.
Yeah.
When is the WITC again?
That is an excellent question.
Excellent question. We don't have an answer yet. It'll be, you know, late summer, early fall, like August, September-ish.
Okay.
So hopefully it doesn't happen at the same weekend as the CAS Cup. So I will send you information on the CAS Cup so we don't overlap.
We always try to not overlap with things. So yes, send information.
Well, at least for me, because I will not be there if the CAS.
Right.
Yeah.
So we also don't want to overlap with Gen Con.
Yep. So Ontario, please let us know when your September, October, and August events are so we can schedule on the same day.
We are dodging the shit out of Ontario next year for the ATC. Like, by over a month and a half.
There you go. Just not the first week in August, please. I'd like to go. And I don't think my wife would very much appreciate me missing my daughter's second birthday. So
that's okay. No, it'd be that's Gen Con time, so yeah. Travis won't let us do it then.
No, okay. There we go.
Because he wants to be, like, sane and not run two events in three states apart at the same time.
The end of August is... but I can run... I don't even need him for the WITC.
But who will be the Zuckerberg?
Right? the end of August is my wedding anniversary, so we'll probably do it then.
Oh, that sounds good. You know, she's not going to get mad.
Nah. Fuck her.
That's what you'd expect that day, but you know.
What?
Whoa.
Double meanings. Whoa. Fuck it. That's silence. I'll fill silence with how it's going to work.
We were all just watching Andy paint there.
I know. Like, it's hypnotic. You guys can all watch Andy paint. I will go ahead and explain how it'll work because why not?
No, I think it'd be awesome. I'm excited to play in that format. And then
if it's the one you explained, I think it's going to be a really cool format. But
I'm going to explain it. Here I go. So you got your three tables. Well, you know, one, two, and three, we'll call them, because those are oftentimes how you denote things of which there are three of. So,
especially because we've already printed the table cards.
Valid. Actually, no, they were ABCs.
Yep.
So you have table A, B, and C. So the teams line up, and they have their players on cards. And so you can secretly put these cards things, three Monty style, and you can't tell what's what. So each one of the teams puts one of their players on table one, and the other team puts one of their players on table three. So you get to choose terrain-based one of your players with 100% certainty there. Then you give your remaining two cards.
First, the players are revealed.
Woman, I haven't gotten there yet. Then you give your cards to the other player, the other team captain. Then you reveal those players on the table.
Functionally sure, relevant timing.
Yes, but this way I was right. So now, with knowledge of where one of your opponent's players is, you get to play your other two players, or your opponent's other two players. So you get to shove one of them into your own guy, and then the one you don't use goes on to table two. So in theory...
Shake my head here.
In theory, there was no double meaning there. In theory, you are going to have a bad matchup with the player that you chose to put out of your own, right? Because correct. You are giving... that's control. Your good matchup. That's your good matchup.
No, that's your bad matchup.
No, because they can choose who to put down against it.
You choose who of theirs. No sense. You choose who of theirs to put down against it because you're holding their players. You put down one of your players on, let's say, table A, because I'm that team. Then I get my opponent's cards. I choose one of his players to match up against the player I put on table A.
That's correct.
And then the leftover goes on B. Meanwhile, he's choosing one of my players to play against his guy that he put on table C, and then his leftover goes on table B.
Yes, sorry, I was thinking of table 3 or C, whatever way you want to put
it. Well, for you it's A, for me it's like, you know. So whatever. So let's try that again with less confusion. You put one of your players on table, I'll just say 1, and the other team's going from 3 down to 1. So I will put one of my players on table 1. Then I will receive my opponent will put a player on table 3. I will receive his cards and give away my cards. Now with his two cards, I will match one of his people against my guy on table 1 and put the leftover on table 2. He is doing the same thing. So in theory, you get one good matchup, one bad matchup, and one coin flip in the middle, which you can try to metagame by outguessing how good of a good matchup you need to give yourself. Because you can give yourself like a 55% or if you think that leaves the leftover as somebody they're not expecting, and so on. Point is, see how much fucking thought there is there? Dynamic. And way more than just ranking three people at the start of the event.
Yeah, no, I like it.
It means I can always throw Quimby to the wolves again.
Quimby's always B. Just never pick him.
Meh.
It worked.
Well, I like that too, because you can't really shark the system by like saying like our best player is our number two player, you know, something like that. Just
well, and we're also
put people up.
We're also looking at doing at the very least caster restrict across the three players, so you can't do the other thing people do in three commanders format where you just have three people running the same two lists.
Oh no, it'll be caster.
I like that.
Mm-hmm. No, it'll be cast. It'll be unique. You have to have six different casters between your three players, just like the 5-man limit is.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be cool. I like that.
I'm excited to play. I would like to try it out sometime. It seems very fun.
You can try it out at the WITC.
I was talking about before that.
Oh, yes. Well, yeah.
We could probably have run like a primer at the one of our events.
Well, you know, it's easy enough for six of us on a Wednesday to, you know, agree to do a little thing like that.
No, I was just sort of mocking the fact that don't ever practice before tournaments, and well, it shows. But you know, when you only get to play once a week, it is what it is.
Yup.
Suppose I could probably talk a little bit about yesterday's event.
Yeah.
My last hurrah is a PG running event. We had 21 people for it. Signar won the whole damn thing. Again. Signar. Yeah.
Just that the winner played Signar or like one, well, two, and three?
No, the winner played Signar. Two was Protectorate. Three, it's on my phone, my thing over here, but I don't have it.
You don't remember who won?
No, Johnny. Circle.
So who was Signar? Who was?
It was Nick with Signar. It was David with his Protectorate. So yeah. Overall,
I did like the picture of the five Kitbash Lokis.
Yeah, there was only four, but yeah. Turns out that basically Loki is sold out of all of the Madison stores and surrounding area. So they all had to get their own Loki. And technically,
they're all legal by Steamroller standards, and they're definitely recognizable. So they're also legal by the Golden Rule.
Yep. So yeah, I allowed that, and
I was actually surprised how much chain they used.
Yes. Oh, and how thick it was. Like I have a bag full of just jewelry chain that would work perfectly for it, but they used like actual hardware chain.
Right. They didn't one of them have a paper clip?
Yes,
I think so.
That was Ethan's, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think John's was kind of the most unique. He ended up using a Titan Sentry shield and a tusk from a Titan as the hook. So it was kind of neat.
Someone used a button.
Yeah. Kerr actually took a lot of effort into his because he actually modded it, sculpted it, and then painted it to a decent standard. And then he commented that he has one in his mailbox at home. But yeah, we went four rounds. It was pretty good times. That's not many stories about.
Well, there's nobody here played in it, so we can't really. And including you, like you ran it, but so that means you don't have specific battle reports or anything.
No.
I just crossed your event off the topic list.
Yep.
I mean, I'm just going to assume that one of the Signar lists was double storm lances, but.
I think that's what Nick was running. I could actually look that up, but.
Yeah. You're not going to.
I'm not going to.
No.
Man. I mean, it's.
I wish I'd been there. I can beat double storm lances.
You should have been there.
Well, you know.
If I could get my head on my ass with my Sevi list, I probably could too. But the way I ran it on Wednesday, I know. No. There was. That head was so far up my ass, I could not think at all.
You just need an electricity immune colossal.
Well, that'll work too.
All right, everyone's watching me paint.
What are you doing? I was taking a drink of this.
Well, it's a painting 50-50. Show. Yeah, 50-50, good stuff. Nostalgia-tastic.
I mean, now we're all watching you.
Come on, it's 6:30. There's nothing else I'd rather do than watch painting with Major Tusk.
Oh, you don't need to. No.
Yes, I do.
Oh, man, I.
Just, it's for a long time, I've been wishing that I had some way to watch someone paint and talk about War Machine on Sundays. Because I'm always doing this, so I can't watch other people.
Yeah, we're always broadcasting at this time.
So I, unfortunately, can't listen to or watch other podcasts.
Stop lying.
Well, it's true. I wouldn't listen to other podcasts even if I could because podcasts are terrible.
Just like us.
Yes, because we're a podcast.
We're terrible.
There are no good podcasts, and that includes ours. Aren't you done with Laris yet? You've been painting him for like 10 minutes.
No, I'm
confused. Don't you just spray everything gold and dip it?
Yeah, and then put a pirate hat on it. You gotta admit, a gold-dipped Laris with a pirate hat would look pretty awesome.
How many pirate hats do you have left? Do you need to do another order before you lose PG points?
I probably should.
or get together with some other PGs that might have some extra points.
I shouldn't need any more pirate hats because, good point. That's a valid point. I probably should get more just for like the second unit of Swamp Shamblers that I have to help differentiate them from the first unit.
I mean, if you have points to burn, I could use like 20 rubber ducks from the Blighted Bather.
Well, there's no such thing as points to burn when an entire new faction is coming out.
Yep.
Like, and we have a lot of points, but I don't think I have enough that I can get FA of everything Grimkin and still burn it on hats.
So?
You're right.
Valid point.
Support your local store.
I can spend real money on the Grimkin and then use my points to buy you hats.
So. It's a valid way of doing it. It's very nice of you.
I mean, Hungerford is doing PG in order fulfillment again, so he can have a nice flashback to the last time that he had to see 200 pirate hats.
He sent me an angry message.
What?
When I PG ordered 113 Bart hats,
yeah,
he sent me an angry message.
What did it say?
I don't remember. But it wasn't like it was profanity laden, but it was just, you know, like he was not happy with me.
Did he mention that they had to spin up some extra ones?
No, I doubt they had to actually make extra ones, but I'm sure counting 113 pirate hats was not the most pleasant thing he had to do that day. In the middle of filling how many goddamn PG orders.
Yep.
I try to, you know, make sure life has meaning for them.
So do we have any other topics? Any other shenanigans?
MST3K episodes came out on Netflix. Old ones.
Yep.
Some classic ones.
Yeah.
Space Mutiny, Laser Blast, Santa Claus Conquers the Martians, Manos. A lot of the real top ones.
I have to go back and watch all those then. I've just finally got to watch the first episode of Iron Fist.
Iron Fist is terrible.
Yeah. I have yet to see a good review.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I've seen a lot of people saying that it's decent, but like better than they expected.
But still the worst of the Marvel Netflix.
Still the worst of the Marvel ones. But pretty much the Marvel shows are all golden. So if that one is technically the worst, that could be a solid B+.
The dreaded B+.
Yeah.
Like I said, I've only got through one episode, and it wasn't bad. It's sort of still setting them up and everything. You don't really know a whole lot, but it's... You know, I'll give it like any other one where, you know, it'll probably take half a season before it starts to really ramp up, and then by the end it'll probably be decent.
Yeah, all of them seem to really kind of take a while. I mean, like Jessica Jones is really good, but it's also a really slow roll.
Right, that's a very slow roll, and the second half of that season really, whew, that changes. But yeah.
I forget
Cage was pretty good, like right off the bat. I like that one, but
somebody on my Facebook was saying they think the issue is that also side note, everybody mentions like rubber duckies and pirate hats. The correct thing to order is like 200 of those tiny juggernauts from the the alternate Thagrosh. Somebody's mentioned that a possible issue with all those Netflix shows, including Iron Fist, and I think he's bringing it up maybe because Iron Fist suffers a lot from it, is they feel like they have to be X number of episodes. And, like, if Iron Fist's plot would be best told in 4 episodes, just make it be 4 episodes, you know? So there might be a lot of filler.
Yeah.
Or just give us another show. Basically, you know, just have, like, 2 arcs in the series then. You know, like, his story could be, you know, an arc could go for 4 episodes. And then just give us another, like, in a sense, season 2 immediately.
Sure.
If you want it to be 10 episodes long.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Like, I know, like, Luke Cage was, like, 13 or 14 episodes the first season. I think Jessica Jones was
13.
It 13? Was it also 13? I couldn't remember if it was, like, 10, 11, but...
I remember when I got to 10, and I thought, like, wow, this is a really weird way to end the season. and then I looked, and I saw there was, like, 3 to 4 more, and I'm like, oh, okay.
Makes a lot more sense.
Yeah. I don't know. I like them all. Like, I know a lot of people didn't like didn't think the second season of Daredevil was as good and didn't like the costume in the second season. I liked it, but...
And the magic ninjas.
Well, yeah, but...
The magic ninjas. It must be part of season 2 that I stopped after watching because I thought the Punisher part was done with. And I didn't realize it was still continuing, so...
Punisher part's only like through season 2. They sort of runs its course in season 2 and then they move on.
There's like kind of like a trial going on. At least when I'm still watching
it. Yeah, but that's done before. Yeah, that
spoilers. Thanks.
Jeez, Andy.
Well,
keep watching. You should have. I mean, it's like 2 years old now, so.
Yeah, I know. I'm not concerned about
spoilers. Come on, pick it back up. Let's go. But talk about Punisher. I thought they were going to be doing a Punisher one. I think that would be interesting, but...
I think the only issue with your pseudo 2-season thing, Andy, is people just complain harder that the season was disjointed and it dropped the plot thread from the first half of the season and then the new plot thread came out of nowhere because people wouldn't understand that they needed to mentally separate it into 2 stories.
Oh, sure.
Well, and also since it's complete digital distribution with their own thing, they don't need it to have any set length, so...
Right.
You know, you're just saying make 2 shows, but give them 1 name for.
Well, no, like, I just. Yeah. They could do what he's saying, but just have a delay in there. Like, you know, and that yeah. would just speed the thing to say, okay, this season's 4 episodes long. It just is. It's a mini series, and then next year here's 6 more episodes.
Yeah, just call it a call it a mini series right. then, mm-hmm. if that's the case.
Well, talking about sort of changing the season length, they've already announced that the last season of Game of Thrones is only going to be 6 episodes long. So. Mm-hmm.
But this isn't the last seasons. One.
Right? Last. This one's 7.
This is 7. Season 8 is the last season, and it's only going to be 6 episodes long. So,
you have run out of people to kill.
Yeah, that's what it's going to be.
We'll see if my prediction from the book series will be the ending of the show. We'll see.
Yeah. I don't know what your prediction was, but...
fade off to nothing as the author is killed by angry fans?
Yeah,
no, probably not. He'll never write another fucking book, ever. Well, another Game of Thrones book. He'll keep releasing those stupid wild cards nobody cares about.
Somebody cares about him.
Yes, I know. One of our listeners cares about him. Yours and Brian's friend who doesn't even play War Machine.
Oh, Ryan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he taunts me with it every time. He's like, hey, Nate, a new Wild Cards book came out. I'm like, fuck you, Ryan. Speaking of which, Ryan, I bought Heroes Welcome. Or Heroes Wanted. So, whatever. I played his copy of that once, and I liked it. And it was at the garage sale, and I bought it. True story. I know nobody cares. Fuck you.
There we go. Just talking about things like book-related stuff, but, like, the Dark Tower is... I know it's very old and everything, and I only made it through book 3 of that series, mainly because after... I love...
You didn't read book 4? You didn't read The Wizard and the Glass?
No, I haven't. The flashback one? I hear it's supposed to be get better, but book 2 and 3 sort of pissed me off and stuff, and just sort of stopped. But I'm curious about that movie. I'm very curious about it.
I stopped reading after book 4, because I didn't read any of the 3 after his big break, so I don't know everything. But Raylene's talked to me enough about it, but I'm interested in seeing the movie. Book 4 is interesting. A lot of people hate it. I love it. It's very polarizing because it's mostly a flashback because it's Roland and the crew in a situation where they're stuck, and so he's like, hey, I might as well tell you the story of where my life, you know, like my childhood.
Oh, see, I think I would like that.
Yeah, so book 4 is Roland's childhood. A lot more flashback of him and his buddies when he was a gunslinger, not quite in his prime, but after school, you know, so a journeyman almost. I like it a lot.
Because I don't like the part when Roland all of a sudden goes into like the real world and starts getting those people. That sort of just throws me out of that complete world. But what you're sort of describing
somewhere in books 5, 6, and 7, like they do it a bunch.
Yeah.
Then they meet Stephen King.
Yeah, I heard
as
about
himself.
That. Yeah, and that's sort of like okay, nope. But you're describing 4, they did a graphic novel series of The Gunslinger, which I have all those books and stuff, and I really like those stories and stuff.
Yeah, so you should read 4 then. 4, yeah. I don't think there's any, and there might be because it jumps back and forth between what's currently happening and the flashback. And the currently what happened is cool too because they're trapped on an evil schizophrenic train.
Oh, that okay, yeah, because that's where they end book 3 is they're on that train.
Yeah, Blaine the train. Yeah. So
is it the terror train?
It's Blaine the train.
Oh, okay,
yep. He's insane and a pain.
There's a band called Demons and Wizards.
Yeah,
and they have a song on there called Terror Train.
I'm sure it's about Blaine.
It probably
is. But yeah. So anyway, you'd probably like it if you like the flashback to Roland being younger. You say, I made a terrible decision yesterday, which was to let Raylene pick a movie from Redbox. And so I now can no longer truthfully say that I have not seen Suicide Squad.
why'd you do that?
Yeah,
you know,
so I've seen it.
This is going to be, if people actually have time, we could do this right afterwards.
I don't know what it is, so I'm not going to agree to it.
I have a pain train.
What is it?
Officer Down.
Officer Down. I don't even know what that is.
Officer Down. I'll show you guys a trailer, and then you can decide if we're going to watch it afterwards. It's only 90 minutes, but it's Officer Down. Have you seen Sons of Anarchy?
Yeah.
Remember Tig?
Yeah.
It stars him as a cop.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure. Anyway, so... like... fucking hey, that movie.
I haven't seen it.
It's bad. It's bad.
So, number one, it was good to see the Putty Patrol from the original Power Rangers got a job again as as the minions of the villain in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, they're fighting these monsters, and I'm like, holy shit, it's the Putty Patrol.
Yeah, I heard that basically the Joker was the worst pretty much for the entire thing.
He probably would have been okay. Here's the issue with the Joker is he literally has zero impact on the story.
Yeah. None.
Because his every time it cuts to him, his whole thing is to rescue Harley from this situation she's in.
Sure.
You know, not necessarily out of like
love.
Not out of love or anything, not out of I don't want to say ulterior motives, the opposite of fucking that.
Altruistic,
correct. Not altruistically, but just because she's his property, right? And so he wants her back.
Sure.
So he does a thing, and he sneaks a cell phone to her, and he does all this stuff, and he does these other things, he does this, and every time they cut to him, he's getting closer and closer to rescuing her. And then he rescues her. 20 seconds later, he loses her, and then she just willingly rejoins with the Suicide Squad. And then he's not in the movie again.
What? Okay.
And she, yeah. That was it. So it was all completely pointless. He has zero impact whatsoever on the entire storyline, and there's no reason for him to be in the film.
Yeah, they just felt that it's like, okay, it's a DC film. We need to have the Joker in it.
Non-Euclidean Nick has a question I had, but I didn't want to ask it because I didn't want to admit that my brain assumed it.
Sure. What was it? Admit.
Is Officer Down... is that an offensive pun?
No.
Okay.
No, it is not. It is not. It is not about. No, it's Down with an E. Okay. So it's actually it's a comic book film. So it's originally a comic book that somebody had written about it, you know, a cop.
That's
so it's,
fine.
So it's very stylized.
I was very worried you're going to make us watch a terrible bad taste comedy about a beat cop.
God, I wanted to do some voices, but I'm deciding not to for better taste.
No. Also, so we're watching the movie, and the first seven lifetimes of it is the lady describing the backstories of each of the Suicide Squad members.
Oh, yeah.
And she's like, here's Deadshot. And then there's an hour and a half of Deadshot's back history. And she's like, and here's Harley, and an hour of Harley's back history. And here's El Diablo, and there's an hour of him and some terrible fucking CGI. And then, and here's the Croc and some terrible facial makeup, and somehow they got an Oscar for that shit.
Yeah.
The Enchantress looked okay, I guess, but Academy Award winning film Suicide Squad. Anyway, and here's Captain Boomerang and a big old thing of Captain Boomerang, right? So you got Deadshot, Harley, El Diablo, Killer Croc, Captain Boomerang. And so she goes through all those guys, and at least, it's like 20 minutes of this scene.
Well, they give each one of them like three, four, five minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they've never introduced him before, so they have to do a backstory on
right. him. Right. So then, the next scene is her talking to some muckety-mucks about having her program approved. And she gets up to a podium, and behind her on the wall are pictures of Deadshot, Harley Quinn, Killer Croc, Captain Boomerang, El Diablo, and some random dude that we've never heard mentioned about before.
And let me guess. Is he the first to die?
What? So, like, the scene goes and it ends, and I turn to Alita, and I'm like, hold on a second, rewind that shit. And I rewind, and I pause, and I'm like, who's that asshole? Why is there a random picture of some Indian guy on the wall? Like, they never talked about that guy. And then, yeah, sure enough.
Clarification requested.
Feather. So, sure enough, like, another 7 hours later, the squad starts going, and they're ready to go off, and the leader's like, oh, by the way, here's Joey McLike's ropes that we've never mentioned. And then 5 minutes later, Joey McLike's ropes gets killed. And I'm like, yeah. Like, introduce him with the rest. If you're going to spend 5 fucking minutes per guy, be willing to waste another 5 minutes with this character so that I care when he dies, so that I'm surprised when he dies, instead of just saying, and here's Ensign about to get killed on the planet surface with Kirk and Spock.
Well, let's go through the checklist. Was he wearing a red shirt?
No.
Was he black?
No, he was not.
He was Indian.
Yeah.
Come on. I mean, we established that.
Yeah, but
we're not talking about slushy Indian. We're talking about...
Casino.
Feather Indian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Casino. I guess that fits with my horrible.
With your 7-Eleven. Yeah. Which does he run, a 7-Eleven or a casino, if we're going to be racist about it? Who would run a 7-Eleven in a casino? Dun, dun, dun. And so I was looking at it. It was so fucking terrible. The Enchantress, to show off her powers, spoiler, she ends up being the villain. To show off her powers, the evil McBlack lady, she has the Enchantress go to Tehran, steal like their weapon secrets from their version of the Pentagon and bring them back. And she does that quite literally in the blink of an eye.
Okay.
Later in the film, when they're fighting her, like, they're punching her. Like, Killer Croc just grabs her and beats her against a wall.
Yeah, okay. I just showed earlier that she can just teleport wherever, and then she's just like, I'm just going to stay here and fight you guys.
They throw bombs past her to shoot to blow up the bombs, and she's, like, diving for the bomb, and she's slower than the guy, like, drawing his gun to shoot the bomb.
So it's similar to...
The Flash.
The Flash, when there's bees inside the office building.
There's bees in my mouth!
Yeah.
Oh. This won't bring your honey back!
It does really bother me that DC just cannot seem to handle the movies. Like, all their TV shows are fairly decent. I mean...
And the animated movies are fine.
Even Gotham is watchable by somebody who had a... Who had a lobotomy? But I mean, it's watchable. It's watchable.
Would you watch? I thought you said you watch Gotham.
I was thinking about doing it as a research project, but everyone tells me not to.
God. Let me mention the two saddest bits of trivia, like back to back on IMDb. Because I always look through the trivia and goofs and shit after a movie, just because I like more knowledge, more info, and. I'm not even going to try it, but the guy who plays Killer Croc has a very large, very traditionally African name with a lot of A's and K's and hyphens, and I cannot say it. But anyway, they mentioned that when he got the role, it was like a Dave Bautista's thing where he was like so excited. He wanted to, you know, prove his acting, and so he read hundreds of issues of Batman that had Killer Croc in them. He like watched other things. He researched actual information about crocodiles, and he also researched cannibalism amongst humans to see how a cannibal would behave, a crocodile would behave. He wanted to get into the character. He did hundreds of hours of research in this character. That's trivia piece number one. Trivia piece number two, Killer Croc has 6 total lines in the film, totaling 28 words.
He does do a lot of grunts and just giving you looks, but you know.
Oh my god! It's
and
just...
winning best makeup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh.
So, yeah, just fucking disjointed.
That's my story.
Mel Gibson might be doing the sequel.
I'm sorry.
That's supposed to make me feel better.
Mel Gibson directs really good films.
Yeah, I say it can't get worse.
I mean, name a bad Mel Gibson film that he's directed.
Braveheart.
That is the movie that I beat my times that I've seen in the theater with Mad Max. Was Braveheart. I saw that movie 9 times in the theater.
I say the writing for Braveheart may be bad, but it's very well directed.
Yeah.
Andy, I've been told that I should podcast about Andy posting the results to his latest steamroller.
Hey, you know what, Rick?
How did you know?
Yeah, you know what, Rick? The computer that's actually handling that is also handling all of the audio right now. So I'm not going to touch it to post some silly results.
That's true. You might make Travis an admin again.
What? I will post it as soon as this is done, which will be soon too.
Well, maybe after a movie.
Possibly.
Maybe.
He won't.
Post it after a movie?
The answer is no.
Yep.
Yep. Now I'm not going to post it in spite of Rick. To spite Rick.
Good job, Rick.
You just made Travis happy. How do you feel?
Well, I mean, I've done the impossible. I made Vulcan feel. I'm also painting, too. So why are you guys, Andy, aren't talking?
We're
giving you time to go and explain what you're doing and the techniques you're using. Oh,
there's no explaining. I'm just...
You're still using the same goddamn colors, aren't you?
No, I've switched it up to a lighter one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's layering, man. First you start with blue, and then you go white.
Yeah. See?
And then you go red. Well,
first
you start
black, and then you dry brush a gray and a wash, and you call it good.
Yep.
First, you spray paint it gold. Then you do red highlights, silver highlights, add a hat, dip it, done.
I'm actually taking a lot more time than I expected on this as well. But I'm very happy with the results so far.
Is that going to be one that's going to be used for Who's the Boss?
Yeah.
Okay. Make sure you just send me a list of the guys you need me to bring, too, so I don't forget.
Correct. I will do that. Basically, anybody who's come over the last year and ones that you've always brought before. I'll send you a list.
Yeah.
Which? So just bring everything.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, bring your collection.
I'm going to shout out everything. To the assumedly 24-year-old guy from London who just joined our chat because he said hi to us, so I'm saying hi back.
Okay.
34. Yeah. Bad math. I'm trying to remember. Bad math, 34. It's depressing to remember how old certain decades are.
35?
No, odds are 34.
Well, I'm born in 81. I'm 36, so.
Right, but that's not how odds work. Just because you're in the minority doesn't make it not the minority.
No, I'm just there saying are there is a possibility. I understand.
I didn't say it was impossible. I said probably. Yeah. It's a key word, Kofoot. Probably.
I guess that's why you're a rules judge and stuff, and I'm not.
Come the end of June, he'll be probably 35.
Fight.
I'm not too worried. I'll just hold him at arm's length.
That doesn't work.
It works on my wife and my younger brothers.
Fair.
So I just assume anyone that's shorter than me, I can hold him at arm's length.
Why don't they just tear at your wrist?
They try. I have big hands.
Big, strong hands. The rock biter.
Are you in a different way than that I would?
I was going with Never Ending Story, okay? The movie that traumatized every kid in the 80s.
Not me.
What, you like seeing horses drown to death?
Never seen it.
Yeah. What?
Yeah, I've never seen the Never Ending Story.
Holy shit! Spoiler, a horse drowns to death.
Yeah, no, I know that. I've seen...
And everyone dies.
Yeah.
Like everyone.
Yeah.
Oh, thank God, a topic.
Question, you guys love games, so have you ever wanted to design a game? If so, what type of game would you design? He spelled design two different ways, and neither of them were right. So good job, Miso 82.
I've got two games in my mind that I've been really wanting to get out.
Is one the Iceberg versus Titanic?
Yes. Because, honestly, that game would be awesome. Iceberg versus Titanic, be great. So one would be kind of like a card action game, and that's basically what Iceberg versus Titanic is. Another one is a kind of like a construct your own thing for a turn, and use that to battle others. And then it's using a card deck to be. It's kind of similar to something like Epic Spell Wars of the Battle Wizards.
Sure.
Something similar to that, but dealing with a completely off, weird subject. And I don't want to talk about it too much because, you know.
I will warn you, there's a game, The Oatmeal had a game come out called, I think, Bears versus Babies. Have you seen anything about that?
I've heard of it, yes.
Like, you have to fight babies, and you do so by assembling your bear. So, like, you give them chainsaw arms and tank tread legs, and you you build them out of cards, and then you fight babies.
Yep.
I don't know how similar that is to your one.
Nope. Mine is much different. Those are actually all private messages when you see the Crystal Crippled system there. So he actually sent it privately to us.
Oh, oops. So all he did in chat, he popped in and said, guys, tired, I'm tired, sorry. That's all the rest of chat saw.
Yes.
That's all they deserve to see.
That's actually super awesome. I actually did design a game. It didn't get published or anything. Brett Myers here in Madison, who has some published games, I was in a designer group with him where we would design games and play test them with each other, and I had one. But
it was,
what?
I forgot. Sorry. I cut you off.
What'd you forget?
I actually have a published game. Well, not published yet, but it was sold. Me and, or not me and, that sounds proper English. David Carl, DC, and I worked on a game together that was sold to, I believe, Ninja Division. That's, I don't know when it's coming out, but it's supposed to be coming out, and I'm supposed to have a designer credit on it. So
he bumped you up from playtester to designer?
No, I helped design it for him.
The Pocket Cycles one?
Yep. We talked basically of how to handle a lot of the placements of the cards and that. I did all the artwork and everything to get everything rolling. So, and gameplay mechanics. So I'm a designer-ish.
Am I on there?
You were on there as a playtester. I don't know if that will carry over. I haven't heard anything from it since it actually happened.
It discredits the other judges.
Yeah, that's yeah. Yeah. The other judge. Always fucking getting Zuckerberged. Oh, Andy, you liar. They're not private messages. They could read all of that.
Oh. Well,
you're bad at Twitch.
Yep. So who wants go to be
make
a mod?
I was going
to
say, make somebody a mod. Anyway, whatever. Game.
Nah.
It was a Puerto Rico style thing where it was where you took turns choosing an action, and then when you did an action, the person who did the action got the benefit slightly more. So you wanted to have other people's actions help you, and right. Fuck Travis. Fuck everything. Fuck Suicide Squads. Fuck Optimus Prime.
Well, I have. Well.
The inferior prime. Anyway.
Andy, just let me know when you're going to leap the table so I can move my stuff out of the way.
When I'm going to what?
Like
leap the table?
Okay. Yeah. Like mostly the phone and the soda, because I do believe there's a new iPad Pro coming out soon, and I need an excuse to upgrade, but.
So you leave that to get broken.
My friend killed another friend, and I need a new iPad.
Someone landed on it. It happens.
Yeah, it was an accident. A terrible, terrible blood-soaked accident.
Just let me know, Andy, so I can gently go and hand you this so you can bludgeon to death with it.
No further answers, Your Honor.
I also was working on a war game. No dice. All the combat was purely math deterministic. If you've ever played the old Avalon Hill Civilization or Advanced Civilization games, it was that style with the chit removal. And each round, you would play a round as whatever force you were on the map, and then you would have a round of bidding where you would bid you would get a new force. So like if you played Greece one round, you might be Russia the next round just by bidding. Each one would have their own auction, and you bid with the victory points, so you had to make sure that they were profitable for you. The fluff was that you were gods, and so you would try to, like, now these people are going to convert to your religion, and these other guys are going to convert to the other religion. So you could build temples to, like, kind of, they would be almost like discounts towards future bidding because they're pot committed to you and whatnot. And I had it, like, pretty much all, I never got around to making boards and chits and stuff, but the rules were pretty well polished out.
Nice.
I could help you make boards and chits.
Yep.
Yeah,
I do graphic stuff.
I love to play games. I'm not a very good designer, so I don't even try, but
not that good at playing either.
It's honestly true. I love worker placement games, and my wife kicks my ass at them every single time, but
I would love if my wife kicked my ass at board games.
Oh yeah, that's one of the talking about that, we got the game The Duke, and we played it 3 times on Friday night, and she won all 3. Or no, it was all, we played it 7 times yesterday. And the first 3 games she won, and then we put it away for a little bit, and then everyone was napping, like the kids were napping, so we brought it out. And then we played it 3 more times, and I won all 3 of those. And then she's just like, she's going to hate me, but she's like her mom, where she won't quit until she wins.
Sure.
So we played it a 7th time, and then she won, and then we played a different game. But she's just like, that is just, it's such a great 2-player game.
The Duke is a very good game.
Yeah, it's a very good game, but it was just like very determining.
Do you have any of the expansions and whatnot, or just the core game?
No, I just have the core game right now because they just re-released it. So
gotcha.
So I haven't got any of the expansions yet, but
I think I have the King Arthur expansion of it.
Oh, okay.
I bought a Brian's copy Every once in a while, Brian will liquidate his board games, and I'll buy them, and then never play them.
Eventually, he's probably going to liquidate his Scorn. I think that's next on his list of liquidations.
Well, what happens a lot with Brian is that he'll have amazing two-player games, and I'm the only person who plays those with him, and we never get around to playing them, so then he sells them, and I'm like, hey, I like that game, and I buy it, and then I never get a chance to play it, because Brian's the only one that I could play it with. So if Brian and I would just play those games...
So what you're saying is there's a hope for me to get Rebellion.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. No, he'll sell it to me, and then he and I will never play it.
But he and I are the only two that play that one.
I played Rebellion with him twice, and we're 1-1.
Yeah, see, I typically get a lot of two-player games just because a lot of times just my wife and I that play and stuff. But then there's games that I've had that are of themes that I know she won't like, so it's like I maybe get to bring them out once a year and stuff. But
sure.
But no, you were talking about the game you were designing where you're gods. Did you ever play the video game Black and White?
Oh, yeah.
That was a fun game at the time.
It's weird. Like, that game, I was always benevolent. Like other games, like, with karma systems, like right. Fallout and stuff, I tend to be a complete shithead. Well, but I was benevolent in that one.
It's really hard, though, to be, you know, a good person in Black and White. You got to work really hard at that.
Those fucking sailors whose boat isn't fucking finished. I will have that song in my head until the day I die.
We're sailors on the moon.
We've got the notion that we'd like to sail the ocean, but we built it too big and we've run out of wood. Remember those guys?
Oh, yeah.
I-la-da-dee. Fuck you, Peter Molyneux. You and your empty promises for Spore.
Yeah.
And many other things.
And everything. Peter Molyneux is the king of empty promises. And his fucked up calendar in Fable 2, 3? Which Fable was that?
I never
that?
Played the Fables.
One of the Fable games.
Or more.
This specific one, the thing I'm going to complain about, I forget which one it was in, but they're like, the evil, big, mega, super awesome final boss is going to come in 100 days. And so you're like, day one. All right. And so you're prepping. Day two, prepping. And it's like, and it has a countdown. 98 more days. 97 more days. 96 more days. So you're prepping your town. You're building up your town. You're building up your army. And with like 13 days left, he just shows up early. It's like, you motherfucker.
That's a proper evil thing to do, though.
Yeah.
You announce when you're going to come, and then you show up early.
When you have a countdown timer for...
You're bad intel.
For like a doomsday device of some sort.
It goes off on four.
It goes off at a minute left. Because that's right when the hero is putting their plan into action.
Well, yeah.
Have you not read the like thousand things to do as an evil overlord?
Yeah.
All of my henchmen were clear plexiglass helmets.
Yeah.
So when the hero...
A surprising number of the things on that list are just good HR practices.
Yeah. Like... Listen to people and...
Yeah.
Yep. I will listen to my advisors when they tell me something.
Treat my henchmen with respect. Pay them well.
Yep. I will always keep a child on my advisor team, because any plan that a four-year-old can figure out, then I will not put that into action.
What if it's a plan only a four-year-old can figure out?
Well, then it's still not a plan you want to put into action.
Tangential.
Usually there's a four-year-old on the hero team.
Younger sibling and whatnot.
Yeah.
That's true.
Probably the one trying to rescue one of your advisors. All right. So are we going to Zappity Grumbles? Does anybody
have any Zappity Grumbles?
I didn't see any.
An interesting note, speaking of four-year-olds figuring something out while Dan looks and sees if we have any Zappity Grumbles, is I was reading an article about a riddle that has evolved over time by not changing at all, but society has changed around it, which was this old, once upon a time, was a riddle and was considered difficult, which was a man and his son are driving in the car. There's a car accident. The man is killed. The son is taken to the hospital, rushed into the emergency room. The surgeon is brought in. The surgeon says, I cannot operate on this person. This is my son. And the riddle is, you know, oh my goodness, how can this be? And so 60 years ago, it was a mind-blowing riddle because there's no such thing as a female surgeon. I mean, come on, don't be absurd. 30 years ago, we're all like, well, it's his mom. His mom is all, you know, his mom's a surgeon. You know, the dad could be a plumber, who knows, but the mom's a surgeon. Now, kids are starting to answer with, oh, it's his other dad.
No. Yeah.
Which is very interesting to see an answer evolve around a riddle based on society. Did we have Zappity Grumbles? That was time killing.
Yep, we have one.
Yes!
Woohoo! And you'll like this one.
Okay.
How much cumin is too much? Should it smell like the main ingredient? Please advise.
No such thing, yes.
I don't like Mark Cuban. I mean, I thought he was okay.
He's the best part of Shark Tank.
Yeah. No, what is cumin?
So think about what ground beef tastes like.
Okay.
Now think about what tacos taste like.
Oh, so it's just taco sauce?
Seasoning.
It's one of the main
taco seasoning is 90% cumin.
Yes. Oh, really?
It's that's human? That flavor. Yep, it's human. Yeah. It's human.
Oh, my
it's
God.
Human. No, it's a mixture of cubert and human. It's cumin.
Cubert?
Or and human. It's a mixture of cubert and human. It's cumin.
Or pubert from Adam's Family.
Pubert is from Futurama.
No, pubert is from Adam's Family.
Who was the one from Futurama?
Cubert.
No, that's the guy who hops on a pyramid, a ziggurat, and swears.
Something just happened in our. I don't know what that was, but no, Pubert is from the Addams Family. It's the youngest one.
No, that's Pugsley.
Nope. Nope, Pubert is.
Oh, the baby, baby. Yeah. I was thinking of the original show.
Yeah. No.
Anyway, no such thing as too much. Because cumin has supplanted garlic as my favorite spice.
God or damn, just eat so Indian good. And have both.
Yes. Well, I mean, true. I mean, you can always have both.
I'm really excited
fucking how cumin.
This is looking so
good. I made a whole bunch of homemade Indian for food and dinner today. I think I'm going to go home and eat more.
I'm sad. I left room for this. I normally drink diet sodas, so as wonderful as this was, it ate up 160 of my calories for the day. So now I can't go home. Oh,
so it is not diet?
No, yeah. It's caffeine-free, but it is not diet.
Oh, it is not diet. Oh. Wah-wah. I only saw the caffeine-free on it, and I'm like, oh, this is fine. I'm like, oh, no, not good.
Drink 7 of them. Who needs insulin? Chug, 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 chug. I do not.
Yeah.
You were excited about something you said.
I don't remember what now. I'm really excited,
you're excited about yeah, your paint job.
How this looks so far. It should look pretty decent when it's finally done.
Show it to the camera. Yeah, what camera? Ooh.
But it's upside down, so it's annoying because I can't position it right.
Anyways, now your hands are in the way of the light. Yeah. Yeah. This whole setup is disastrous, Andy.
It is pretty bad.
Leave it to the professionals.
Yep. Professionals.
Zappity, Non-Euclidean Nick asks, is there anything served on bread that doesn't qualify as a sandwich?
Well,
on bread?
On bread? In bread. So I've seen I would not consider beef brisket as being a sandwich unless there is another piece of bread on the top of it,
right?
Because I've seen people most barbecue places serve it on like a slice of bread.
Well, because here's the thing though, you don't eat it while it's on the bread.
No, I just
like if you picked up the bread and ate the brisket that way, it would be almost an open-faced sandwich at that point. But the bread is just there as
plate extender,
right? It's correct. To soak up the sauce, and then you have mushy, delicious gravy bread underneath.
No.
Or don't. Either way, the point is you don't eat the bread and the brisket together.
Sure.
So that bread is at best a side dish.
Yes. So now I remember what I wanted to mention. So I listen to other podcasts a lot.
Why?
Whoa.
So there's
cheating on your own podcast. Yep,
there is a podcast called Off Topic, which is run by the Rooster Teeth guys. You should listen to not this week's that's coming out, but last week's episode of it starts off exactly like every single fucking Crippled System episode ever. So it goes
do they start randomly in confusion?
Yes. But it starts off with them talking about this is not a prime number, this is a prime number, blah, 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 talking about prime numbers and shit, and then immediately goes into Transformers, and then goes, it was uncanny listening to the episode last
time. It feels like there's like a trademark case or copyright infringement.
No,
we can sue the Rooster Teeth people.
No, we can't.
I came up with a shitty anime like years before they did.
I'd be really watching out to see if there's a microwave trying to go and intrude on what you guys are saying.
Rooster Teeth used my microwave to steal Rubby.
The microwave can't even see us, though.
Yeah, they can always see.
No.
That's how good they are as camera. A normal camera can't see you through walls.
Oh, a microwave can go through walls, though. Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Yeah, microwaves go through walls. So they use the microwave to extend the vision of the camera part.
They literally just transcribed their whole podcast and then redid it as their own.
So we got prime numbers, we got transformers, we got conspiracy theories.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Man, we got everything.
I think none of us is sleeping with Meg Turney. The conversation for Transformers,
I guess,
was about Rodimus Prime and how he fucked over Optimus Prime. So, I mean, it's our podcast. They did like a 20-minute segment of our podcast.
Come on. It is the only big controversy in Transformers.
That's the only thing that I hold in my life. Is
the sentence is better if you don't finish it.
Yeah. If Optimus Prime was better at his job, he would have survived. Right? Like, you know.
He was doing his job just fine.
His job was...
And then Hot Rod tried to help.
He's, I'm helping! I'm helping!
He's pretty much, I'm helping. And then, yeah.
Does this sword go in your back?
Well, no. Prime got shoved in his
stomach. I know,
stomach.
I'm just saying he got stabbed in the back.
Yeah. All right. Zappity. Crumble.
No good when you have to explain it.
I am not aware of a Starship Troopers anime, unless it's the Starship Troopers animated series that was on Sci-Fi Channel like 20 years ago, but that's not the same thing, probably.
Yeah. Oh, we were, somebody at the tournament, we were talking about Starship Troopers, and he was like, well, I don't, he basically took the exact Jim stance as, I cannot watch Starship Troopers because it's not anything like the book.
Good.
So like, yeah, I mean... Starship Troopers is amazing because it is a powerful Hoven film.
But and it's just such great, like, how evil the humans are in that movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, they're invading the bug homeworld. The one time you see, like, a bug up close, it has this desperate, pleading eye, and then they just shoot it in the face, you know? The humans attack their own planet to trick their own race into attacking these innocent bugs on their home planet, because there's no way those bugs sent those meteors.
Oh, they did. They sent them. Yeah. No. They use their ass juices, shoot it into the air, and then knock the meteors.
That's pretty damn good aim.
It is pretty good aim.
I mean, there's no way that it was flung from much closer by the government.
Yeah.
Well, bug fuel can't melt steel Buenos Aires.
All right. Do we have any recommendations?
Yeah, I have two of them.
Okay.
I brought in a spare because I didn't realize Geezy wasn't going to be here, and I knew he would probably recommend one of these two, so I wanted a backup because that way he could recommend one and I could recommend the other.
Sure. Well, go ahead. Go.
Season 3 of Review started last week.
Oh, it did?
Yeah.
Really?
It's on ComedyCentral.com. That's how I watched it.
Is it on Hulu?
No. The American Review isn't on Hulu anymore. The Australian one isn't, but the American one... Or the Australian one is, the American one isn't. But the American one, I watched the American, the season 3 episode 1 of the American Review on ComedyCentral.com.
Oh, God damn it. I hate it when they, give me a better centralized place. Give me a better app.
Anyway, it's amazing. Little spoiler, the second thing he has to review is putting a beloved pet to sleep.
Oh, God. And also, then pancakes? Oh, it would be great if it was pancakes immediately afterwards.
And
30 pancakes?
Remember, like, the intros always have good little things. So, like, the season 2 intro had babysitting, where it's him and some cops in a field, and they're like, we found something. This one, they show parkour, and it's just the camera's pointing out a window, and he goes screaming, plummeting to his death outside the window. And then it does something else, and then it does bird watching, and it's the exact same shot. And I laugh so fucking hard. Oh, my God. It's great. So anyway, Review is back on the air. But I'm also going to recommend, because I recommend it everywhere except for on the podcast, Legion is fucking amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And you should be watching Legion.
Instead of this shit.
I have it.
Yes.
I have it recorded, waiting for me to marathon it. I will watch it soon. It's...
So episode 1, I watched after we talked about how more United States media Hollywood films need random Bollywood dance numbers in them.
Sure.
Spoiler, random Bollywood dance numbers.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Good times. Yeah. Well, the great thing, so I don't know how much you know about the plot of Legion.
I know, I've seen the first episode.
And there you go. So I'll leave this somewhat vague for viewers as well. A main thing is that the main character is insane.
Mm-hmm.
And so, as a viewer, if you know what's going on, it's like Memento. Memento had to be backwards so that you were just as confused as the main character was.
Mm-hmm.
When you watch Memento forward and he forgets things, you're just like, no, she's the villain. I know that. You know. But when it's backwards, you also forgot, quote-unquote, by nature of have never learning it. So Legion is insane as shit and confusing as shit and bizarre as shit and random as shit, specifically so that you are as uncertain about what is real and what isn't real as the main character is. And it's amazing. And people who think David Lynch is good, Legion is an example of what actually doing a good job at being surreal looks like. Because there's an in-universe reason for it, it serves a purpose, and the insanity and randomness is actually intelligent as opposed to just being masturbatorial. It's so good.
Quimby hates Legion, doesn't he?
Quimby loves Legion. It's because I've broken Quimby of his David Lynch. He apologized. he rewatched Mulholland Drive and apologized to me.
He's just doing that to be nice. He secretly loves it.
Well, I don't know. He made Marshall watch it, too.
I don't mind Eraserhead.
Yeah.
But, Mulholland Drive is so fucking... Huh?
Dune.
Dune. Anytime I watch Dune, there's a 50% chance I'll love it or despise it. It rides that razor's edge so perfectly.
I think I'm one of the few that I do enjoy the 84 Doom. It's
half the time I do too.
It's
I just love how every time I think of a character from Dune, I think about the sci-fi series, except for Gurney, who I just see Patrick Stewart.
Yeah, obviously. And Eyebrows McGee. Through for Hawat with his world-ending eyebrows. No, like, that's the thing. I think I like the 1984 Dune. Like, I will own it. I will watch it. I'll enjoy it. But then they cure poison by duct taping a cat to a rat. And you're like, what? And, like, we all have heart plugs. But why?
Well, I never... See, the thing is, I've never read any of the books or know any of the
voice activated guns?
Yeah.
Voice activated
guns? Those are awesome.
Yeah.
I really need to watch it again because it's been... probably 10 or 15 years since I've seen it.
It starts with a 20-minute monologue over an oil painting.
I know.
Like, what the fuck? That's how you do your exposition dump?
Maybe I haven't seen it in a while. But I remember being really awe-inspired. The most recent time that I've seen it is probably maybe about 15 years ago. But I still remember the graphics of it. Yeah. Still felt like it stood the test of time.
The visuals are amazing.
Whenever that big... I remember some kind of train kind of pulling up and there was like a reveal of like some kind of brain creature or something
That's the guild rep.
Yeah, and that being...
He's in a big tank. It's like a fish tank that they wheel around. Mm-hmm. Yeah, those guild reps, like in the books, are more kind of like Creature from the Black Lagoon, just like a humanoid fish person.
Oh, the and guy David that's Lynch like, fuck this thing?
Yeah,
fuck
and David Lynch is like, well, what if we make him just a giant turd?
Sure.
With eyes.
And the most amazing thing is the 84 Dune movie was not the weirdest one.
Well, it's the weirdest one that came out. That's true. The other one's so weird they made a documentary about how weird it was going to be, but the world was spared it.
Yeah.
The visuals soundtrack are amazing.
Soundtrack by Pink Floyd.
Yeah. The visuals are, it's just there's random little weird things like voice-activated guns and heart plugs that make no sense. But whatever.
It was one of the better movies I remember that actually made inner dialogue decent.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike Thin Red Line, which... Oh, fuck that movie. But anyway. Yeah. How do we get on Dune?
Okay. Anyway.
David Lynch.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
There we go.
So
I'll just go with my recommendation really quick. It's a Pinterest meal that has actually turned out good every single time we've made it. And it's called Chili Lime Cod. And basically what it is you mix up basically like taco seasoning, put it over your cod, you bake the cod, and then you zest up a lime and then use the lime juice and butter to make pretty much something, I guess like a sauce to put over top of it, and you mix it all with rice. It's really good.
I'm confused because there's two steps that maybe you're just like speeding up, but there's two steps. I didn't hear when you deep fried the cod. Or where the tartar sauce came in.
Neither one of those apply.
Nathan doesn't...
No, I don't understand. None of this makes sense.
Nathan doesn't believe... He doesn't believe in fish. Is his fork to his tartar sauce.
Yeah.
Well, here's the
and
thing.
And I need the protective deep fry coating to make sure that it doesn't touch me.
It's really good because, like, the... cumin and stuff makes like a
you got me back
spicy like topping on the cod, and then you mix in the tartness of the lime and butter sauce that you put on top of that. It's very good.
Cumin, lime, butter. I like these things.
Yes.
Yeah.
So speaking of food that Nathan would enjoy, I saw a March Madness bracket for chicken strips, and the number one versus number 32 was Chick-fil-A versus Long John Silver's.
Fuck them for having Long John Silver's 32. Because that should be the 1 and 2 seeds right there. Chick-fil-A has amazing... Oh, fuck whoever those people were.
I'm not going to get it. I have no dog in this fight. It depends on where Popeye is.
Long John Silver's number 32. That was made purely out of spite by somebody who's never eaten Long John Silver's. It's like people who say they don't like Spam. Fuck you, Spam's amazing.
You got at least a few Hawaiians that are behind you.
I mean, I agree with him.
I don't think I've ever had somebody badmouth Spam, and then I'm like, have you ever eaten it? Have them say yes. They're always like, no.
Yeah.
Blind hatred.
Well, the other trick is to fry the Spam. Then it also
fuck yes. Yeah. Slice it thin, pan fry it.
Oh, yeah.
Or cube it, fry it up, put it in with your mac and cheese.
Mm-hmm. Then put some ketchup on it.
We always did it over open fire.
Oh, God. Spam.
Well done steaks with ketchup. Well done steaks with ketchup. Mm. But anyway, my recommendation. I don't know if I recommended it last week, but I'm going to recommend it again. Go see Logan. Fucking A.
Yeah, that was your recommendation last week.
It was? Yeah. All right.
I need to see that movie.
I was going to see it this Tuesday, but instead we're going to go see the live-action Beauty and the Beast.
What? What? Wait, how come? Wait, hold on. You were supposed to see it. Last week.
Yeah, and then
and then I tried to convince you we should go see Kong instead.
Yeah, I'm not going to see Kong.
Why are you not going to see Kong?
Because I heard Kong's bad.
No, it's the same movie. It's in the same universe.
I've heard Kong's bad, except John C. Reilly holds it together.
Yeah.
And then in the credit sequence, you see Godzilla.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I can just watch and see Godzilla.
Well, it's John C. Reilly, and John C. Reilly is amazing.
He is amazing. I've loved him since Chicago.
And depending on how long the credit scene is, you might see more Godzilla in this movie.
I liked him in Days of Thunder. Which is odd because he's in Days of Thunder and he's in Talladega Nights.
Days of Thunder was the first screen role for beloved character actress Margo Martindale.
I probably didn't know who he was when I watched Days of Thunder. Yeah. So I didn't...
Watch Days of Thunder, you're like, hey, that's John C. Reilly.
Oh.
Margo Martindale. That's the only Days of Thunder actor that matters. Beloved character actress Margo Martindale.
He's got not a need for speed, but it's basically Top Gun with cars.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, go see Logan. Goddamn, that movie's amazing. I really want to see it again. So we should go see it Tuesday. Movie. When I'm not painting, because I need to paint.
You're always not painting.
See, I don't have to go see the live-action Beauty and the Beast because my wife hasn't seen the animated version yet. So she says that she needs to watch that one first. So I'm safe for a while because she'll never watch the animated version. So
Beauty and the Beast is one of the only Disney films where the hero actually dies and then the villain ends up with the girl at the end.
I've got Moana downstairs, too.
That come out?
Yep.
Moana's great. It did.
So good. My new recommendation is to go watch Moana.
Gaston's the hero.
I get it.
He probably has the two best villain songs, too. Like, they gave him not one, but two villain songs. They're both amazing. Although Be Prepared is up there.
Mm-hmm. And Hellfire.
Hellfire's really good, too. But again, Tony J. Just Tony J singing about how much he wants to fuck a gypsy lady. Like, that's a weird thing to have in a Disney movie.
As a priest, too.
But Gaston and the mob song are both amazing. I think that's the best soundtrack of any Disney movie.
Beauty and the Beast?
Yeah.
I
remember it being really good,
Yes, it's by far the most consistent.
I mean, you got the title one, you got the Be Our Guest, you've got...
I don't know if it has the single best song, but it's the most consistently high.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It's overall very solid, but I don't think it has the best Disney song for all of them. None of them are You're Welcome.
You're Welcome is really good. Here's something somebody pointed out to me. Maui's tattoos?
Yeah, those are all hand-drawn.
They're his backstory.
Oh, yeah, it is.
There's fucking backstory, literally, sons of bitches, on his back.
Yeah.
Fucking Disney pun dad joke exposition method.
All right. Dan?
Dan
gets to recommend something.
So my recommendation, it is a documentary on Netflix called In Search of General Tso's.
Yeah.
It is about the history of General Tso's chicken and Chinese American cooking, and it is an amazing documentary.
That's Netflix, right? You said you start.
Yeah.
Yep.
Chinese American food is one of the most underpriced things you can buy on this planet still. Because it's always handmade from fresh, raw ingredients. Mm-hmm. And it's like you do that at a steakhouse, they charge you $50, you know? And it's just like, here you go, enough to feed 17 people for a dollar. Like, it's insane.
Yeah, the amount of stuff I get for my pepper steak at just random places.
Yeah, not even buffet, but you just get like a $6 lunch special, and you just get this giant pile of meat and veggies and sauce that they just made from scratch.
Yeah. Well, and Chinese-American stuff uses so forgiving of ingredients, too, that they can get away with it.
Yeah, well, that's true. I mean, it's not like they're all going bankrupt. It's just legitimately for that size of food, like price wise, you should be willing to pay twice as much.
Mm-hmm. Don't tell them.
No, don't.
No, I like my pepper steak. All right, so I guess we're gonna call it then.
Apparently,
I think we're gonna call it.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you for watching Not Painting with Major Tusk.
Hopefully, we'll see some of you guys this coming weekend at Adepticon.
Yeah, I'll be there. I'll be running Who's the Boss
and Not Painting.
I'll be there Thursday.
I might paint there, though. I might be there on Friday painting, because I don't know what I'm doing there, because I'm not a PG anymore.
Wah, wah.
Wah, wah. But I might be there on Friday painting. Depends.
Is there a chance you'll be there on Friday painting?
On Friday painting.
You might be there?
Might be there.
Okay.
Friday painting.
Okay. When might you be there?
Sundays.
She's getting a Rodimus Prime tattoo.
No!